I read this the other day, and I thought, Lord gave me this message. The title of the message is, Those Affected by the Crucifixion. Those Affected by the Crucifixion. Now, a lot of people were affected by the crucifixion, but I narrowed it down to seven. I have seven things I'm going to give you today. All right? I'm letting you know how many points there are to the message, so if you want to keep notes, I'll say number one, number two, number four, number three. I'll make sure that you know which number it is. All right? In that order. No, not in that order. Anyway, the question, don't say anything out loud, please. Just think about this. Think about it. How were you affected by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? How were you affected by His crucifixion, by His burial, by His resurrection? How were you affected by His life?
Yeah.
Were you affected by any of these things?
Yeah, come on.
Are you still affected by these things? Are you still affected by the crucifixion? When you read the crucifixion in the Gospels, what is that? How does that make you think when you read the crucifixion accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is there anything there that when you look at it, you just, you kind of say, that should have been me.
Yeah.
That should have been me.
Amen.
Yep.
Should have been you.
Amen.
We all should have been nailed to the cross and not Christ.
Amen.
He didn't deserve it. He didn't need, I mean, He had to go for us, but He didn't do anything wrong to deserve to be executed.
Amen.
So, I'm going to read a bunch of verses, starting in verse 13. Luke 23, verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And, behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now, Pilate and Herod both examined Jesus Christ, and Herod says he found no reason to put Jesus Christ to death.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Herod says, I find no fault in this man. Several times he said that. And he presented that to the people. They remember, the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pilate so Pilate could sentence him to death, because the Jewish leaders could not do that.
Yeah.
They could not sentence somebody to die. So they just figured, hey, Pilate, he's a Roman soldier. He's part of the Roman government. We'll bring Jesus to Pilate, and he'll find some reason, some cause for this execution. Pilate examined him, and he questioned people, and he said, there's no reason to put this man to death. He went to Herod, and Herod obviously gave the same sentence. I don't know if they actually came out and said, not guilty, but we know that they didn't find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. Verse 17, it says, For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. I think that Pilate was thinking that I've got an out here. Every year at the Passover, they released somebody that was in prison. They would let somebody go. They would give them a pardon, and away they went. And so I'm thinking that maybe Pilate thought, well, you know what? This is my out. I'm going to present Jesus in front of the crowd, and they're going to allow me to release him, and I'll be free of this issue. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, now look at this is important, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Isn't that something? Talk about bail reform.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Our cities are struggling with this every day. They're releasing people back into society that should still be in prison. And yet they're not doing it. See, it didn't start just in New York or California. It started 2,000 years ago. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. There followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For, behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. That means to mock and to ridicule. Saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council, indeed, of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God, and we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. You love this world so much that you sent your only begotten, your virgin-born Son to this world to be born, to live a perfect life, to be nailed to a cross, for His blood to be shed, to be buried, and to rise again after 3 days. We are so grateful and thankful today for the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you were so willing to do what you did. You voluntarily laid your hands down and put your feet upon that cross as they drove those nails through your hands and through your feet. You willingly stood there and took it from the soldiers as they beat upon you and as they mocked you and as they spit in your face and as they ripped your beard out, Lord, you stood there and took every bit of that for us. I should have been nailed to that cross, not you. Pilate said he found no fault in you, Lord, and we certainly believe that because you lived a perfect, sinless life. And the reason you could do that is because you're God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. We have so much to be grateful and thankful for today. We should never, ever take for granted your salvation. Lord, I pray that you bless this message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We read about several people in this passage of Scripture. And in the other accounts, you can read those, Matthew, Mark, and John. And you'll see other people. But I kind of narrowed it down to 7 total that we're going to look at this morning. The people in the world has never been the same since the crucifixion. This world was completely changed as a result of Christ coming to the earth, dying on the cross, being placed in the tomb, and then rising after 3 days and 3 nights.
Amen.
This world has never been the same since.
Right.
2,000 years about has gone by, and the world still kind of continues on, but the world has not been the same since.
Right.
There were certain individuals that day that was there for the crucifixion. They actually were eyewitnesses of what they saw. And some of those people I want to talk about today. How were they affected by the crucifixion? What happened in their own lives and in their own hearts when Christ was crucified on that day so many years ago? The first man I want to take a look at, his name is Barabbas. We don't know a lot about this man except what the Bible says. According to Matthew's gospel, Barabbas was a notable prisoner. You know what it means to be a notable prisoner? It's not in a good, positive way. It's in a negative sense. He was a notorious prisoner. Maybe you've heard about, you know, different prisoners being notorious criminals and outlaws or whatever. Well, Barabbas was that way. He was notorious for what he did, and not in a good sense. According to Mark's gospel, he was an insurrectionist and a murderer. So he killed people within the insurrection that he was involved in. He was going against the Roman government, and he committed murder in that insurrection. And they caught him, and of course they threw him in prison. And because of his criminal record, they decided he was going to be crucified and executed in that manner. According to John's gospel, he was a robber. So not only was he an insurrectionist and a murderer, but he also was a thief and a robber. So the guy's criminal record spoke for itself. He was a bad dude, as we might say. Bad guy. Somebody that you would want to lock up and keep locked away for a long, long time. Or, capital punishment is something that God instituted in the Word of God. And Barabbas was set to be executed because of his crimes. Not because he was an innocent man, but because of his crimes. The Bible throughout all eternity labels this man as a criminal. And so we understand that. When we read about the crowd, and we read about Pilate and Barabbas and Jesus, the crowd, with their prevailing voices, chose Barabbas over Jesus. They chose the criminal, the murderer, the robber, the insurrectionist. They chose him over the Son of God.
That's right.
They chose somebody that we would want to be make sure that he was stayed in prison over the very Savior of the world. God Almighty. They chose this man over God. And they wanted Christ crucified instead of Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas released. Do you know that Jesus took the place of Barabbas on the cross? I really believe that Barabbas was slated for that middle cross. There was going to be two thieves and Barabbas in the middle. Well, they wanted Barabbas to set free, and he was given the pardon as he was. Completely innocent. He walked away from Pilate and from those people, and he was completely innocent of all the charges that he had ever committed. No longer considered a murderer. No longer considered an insurrectionist. No longer considered a robber. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross instead of Barabbas.
Thank you, Lord.
So the Lord took the place of Barabbas on the cross, and in doing so, removed all of the sins of Barabbas. And Barabbas went free. Did you know the Lord has taken all of our places on the cross? Now it sounds like an impossibility, and it is, that now there's over 8 billion people in the world, and I don't know how many people have been born and died since Jesus Christ, but every single human being should have been nailed to that cross instead of the Lord.
Right.
I'm sure that we would all agree to that. My sins should have been, because of my sins, I should have been nailed to the cross, not Jesus Christ. But Jesus has taken our place on that cross. I'm the one who should have been crucified, not Jesus. I've often wondered, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but I often wondered where Barabbas was during the rest of the crucifixion.
Yeah, right.
I personally believe that Barabbas was standing back there somewhere in the crowd. And he was watching. Now, let me toss this one out to you. I wonder if we'll see Barabbas in heaven.
I think so.
Is it possible?
Amen.
Absolutely. Remember, Jesus took his place on the cross.
That's right.
And while Barabbas was watching the whole thing unfold, I wonder if he realized who Jesus Christ was and believed upon him. Guess what? We won't know until we get to heaven.
That's right.
But isn't it possible?
Amen.
That Barabbas was so affected by the crucifixion that we'll see him and be able to talk with him in heaven.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to talk to Barabbas. He was a bad man. Well, there's going to be a lot of bad people in heaven.
That's right.
Guess what? I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
And so are you.
Yeah.
A lot of criminals in heaven. No longer criminals. Let me make sure that I rephrase that.
That's right. Amen.
A lot of murderers, no longer murderers. A lot of rapists and child predators are going to be in heaven, but no longer will they be labeled as such.
Amen.
Because many of them got saved.
Amen.
Before they died. Many of them.
Yeah.
I think Barabbas was really touched by the crucifixion that day. I think he was so affected that he realized that Jesus was taking his place on the cross. But do you realize he took your place on the cross? Please, I want you to get that in your brain today. I want you to get that in your heart today, that he took your place. Not only Barabbas' place. That was a physical thing that he did on that particular day. Barabbas should have been nailed to that cross, but Jesus took his place. But he took all of our places. So the first one we see is Barabbas. I want to give you another one here. His name is Simon of Cyrene. Simon was there, as far as I know, to participate in Passover. Simon was from a place called Cyrene, which was a city in a province of Libya, west of Egypt. And there was a lot of Jews that were living in that area at the time. Many of those Jews would travel to Jerusalem at least three times a year. The Old Testament demanded that all the men would travel to Jerusalem three times a year to observe the feasts, the various feasts that through God Moses had put down in the law. Simon was there, participating there, or at least he was there for the Passover. He brought his two sons with him, Alexander and Rufus. And with all of the things going on around, remember, Simon went to participate in the Passover and have a wonderful time of reflection and learning about God. And he got caught up in what was going on outside of the city of Jerusalem. I don't know why he was there where he was. I don't know if he walked out to see what was all of the, why were so many people filled with anger and horrendous things outside of the city? The Passover was a time of reflection, a time of talking to God. It was a special time, and yet the city was in an uproar. And I wonder if Simon says, what is going on out there? And so he and his two boys went out, and they're watching, and they see this man trudging up this hill from where Jesus was pronounced in the Antonia prison to Calvary, to where he was going to be crucified, was about 1,000 paces. Jesus had to walk. Every prisoner had to do that. Every prisoner had to walk, carry their cross up to the hill where they were going to be executed. He'd already been beaten. Probably lost most of his blood there with the scourge, the beating that he took. Crown of thorns was on his head. He had been beaten mercilessly. Bleeding profusely from his back, from his sides, as they beat him with that crown of that scourge. Awful beating that he took. Yeah. Ripped his beard out. Guys with beards, go ahead. Try to pull on that. David, you want to come up here and let me pull out your beard? No. You wouldn't like that. Anybody with a beard, you ever hold a little baby and I like to grab a hold of the beard? No. Ow, that hurts. Can you imagine the Lord's beard being ripped out? I can't imagine that. The mocking, the spitting. I mean, people just spit on him. Spit in his face. Hit him with their hands, their palms, their fists. Just beat him. They say that something like that, when that happened, you couldn't even identify who that was. Mm-hmm. His head was swollen from the beating. It was an awful thing. And then they say, you carry your cross up the hill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember, Jesus is already really bloody. Yeah. He's trying to carry the cross. It would make them carry the crossbar on their back, on their shoulders. And so he's kind of walking up like this. Blood all over him. Blood dripping from him. And Simon is just standing there with his two boys, and they're like in awe. What did this man do to deserve what's happened to him? A big, burly Roman soldier comes over and grabs Simon and brings him out of the crowd and says, you're going to carry the cross the rest of the way. Simon can't argue with a Roman soldier. Yeah. He'll get beaten. So he takes over carrying the cross of Jesus Christ up the hill. Now remember, Simon was there for the Passover. You are not to be defiled by anything when you take the Passover. You had to be clean, not only inside, but you had to be clean on the outside.
Yeah.
If Simon touches blood, he's eliminated from taking the Passover.
That's right, that's good.
But he grabs that cross, and he's got the blood of Jesus Christ all over him.
Yep. Amen.
And he starts walking up that hill next to Jesus Christ, carrying the cross of Christ up that hill. He gets to the top of the hill. The cross is removed. It's placed where it is. Simon is standing there. And then Jesus just voluntarily lays his hands out and puts his feet together. And they drive nails into his hands and his feet.
Yeah.
Simon is there watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what was going through Simon's mind. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus took Simon's cross for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when the blood of Jesus Christ touched Simon, he realized whose blood that was when he saw what was going on. Remember, as he's walking up that hill, not only are they spitting at Jesus, now the spittle is hitting him.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Not only are they mocking Jesus, but now they're mocking the guy that's carrying his cross up the hill.
Uh-huh.
And Simon is witnessing this whole thing and he's seeing what is going on. That blood touches Simon and it stains him, but it didn't stain him. It made him clean.
Amen.
As the blood does of Jesus Christ. I'm sure when their eyes met, Simon knew who Jesus was. Simon saw this crucifixion and now the blood was on Simon and he realized that that blood didn't make him unclean, but clean. That day, Simon did not carry the cross of Christ. Christ was carrying the cross of Simon.
Yeah,
amen. That day.
Amen.
He was carrying Simon's cross.
Amen.
Up the hill.
That's good.
As he carried your cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. He carried my cross. He carried all of our crosses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Simon was affected by the crucifixion?
Yes.
Do you think Barabbas was affected by the crucifixion? Let's meet the next person. The thief.
Yeah.
Two thieves hanging on both sides of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the thief that realized who Jesus was.
Mm.
The other one, I feel bad for him. He should have by now recognized who Jesus was, but he didn't. He's rebuking the Lord. He's railing on Jesus Christ in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If..." Wait a minute. "If thou be Christ?"
Yeah, right.
He is Christ.
Amen.
He was Christ. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, verse 40, the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?"
Yeah.
You know what this thief is doing? He's preaching a sermon from his own cross.
Yeah.
That amazes me. He's preaching. He's actually bringing the first sermon he's ever preached. From the cross. He's dying, and yet in his dying words, he's bringing a message that Luke recorded for all eternity. It's a recorded sermon the thief is preaching.
Yeah. Amen.
He's, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" This other thief, he's rebuking the thief that railed on Jesus. I don't know how far apart they were. I think the crosses were fairly close to one another. I don't know. But obviously he had enough strength in his voice. And when you were hanging on a cross, the only way that you could speak to breathe was you had to push up on your feet to relieve the pressure that was pulling on your lungs, because that's how you died. You didn't really die from the nails. You suffocated to death. And it was a long, drawn-out process. You didn't just die instantly. It was one of the worst ways that Rome could figure out how to kill somebody and torture them at the same time. And so they're pushing up on their feet, with their feet, and that's the only way Jesus could preach. You know, he only said about 53 words on the cross. You count them up, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He only said about 53 words from the cross. He preached 7 sermons, Jesus did, from the cross. Very short words. 3 words here, 2 words there, 7 words here, however many words. But they added up to about 53 words. That's all Jesus could get out because he was hanging there and he was suffocating. Now remember what they did to his back before he was nailed to the cross. Can you imagine the excruciating pain every time he had to push up enough to take a breath so he could say anything? What was going on in his back? We sometimes don't think that way. We don't realize what he went through.
Yeah.
The nail in his foot was the way he could push himself up so he could just get a breath of air so he could say something. With everything that Jesus said, he never complained about anything.
Amen.
He didn't rebuke him. He preached a 7 sermons of love from the cross.
He must forgive us.
But now the thief is preaching. He wants to get enough breath so he can say something. So he rebukes the other thief in his little short sermon. Verse 41, he says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." He's done nothing wrong. This thief realizes who Jesus was and is. How can you say he's done nothing wrong? Because he recognized Jesus as God. He heard the people talk about the Messiah, and both of these thieves, I believe, were Jews that knew what the Old Testament said about the Messiah coming, and one of them is recognizing, one says, "Hey, if you're the Christ, save yourself." So he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but the other one is recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. He's recognizing that the Messiah is God. He's done nothing wrong to deserve this. He said unto the Lord, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And so he is rebuking the other thief. He's repenting of his sin and his wrongdoing. He realized what he had done wrong in his life. He had a criminal record also. And then he's asking to be remembered by the Lord.
Yeah.
"Lord, would you just remember me when you come into your kingdom?" He's realizing who Jesus is, and he's receiving salvation, and he's receiving a home in paradise.
Amen.
Because Jesus said these words in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Amen.
Today we're going to be together in paradise.
Amen.
It's today, right now. As soon as you die, sir, We're going to see one another, be with one another in paradise. They didn't have to take the thief down and go get him baptized somewhere to go to heaven.
Yeah, right.
He didn't have to come down and join some church to go to heaven.
Amen.
He didn't have to come down and give whatever money he had to go to heaven. He didn't have to come down off the cross and do 7 things that some churches say you have to do in order to go to heaven. And then you might go to heaven. You don't know for sure. This thief received salvation instantly, and he was going to paradise that day.
Praise the Lord.
When they take him off the cross, he's already dead. They went by and broke his legs to make sure that he couldn't push himself up anymore to get the breath, and then he died by suffocation. When they came to Jesus, both thieves on both sides, they had their legs broken so they couldn't do that. They came to Jesus and they realized he was dead already. And they didn't break his legs.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Because that was prophetic.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Not a bone of him was going to be broken.
Yeah.
So they grab a spear and they shove it in his side, and out comes blood and water. This thief didn't have to do any work for his salvation.
Amen.
He didn't have to do any work to keep being saved after he got saved. There are people today that say, "Well, you know, we believe that you get saved by Jesus Christ, but we have to do all these things to stay saved." You don't have to do anything to stay saved.
That's right.
If you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, you're going to be saved for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Power of God.
If you did nothing to get saved except believe, I know people say, "Yeah, but all I got to do is not believe." That's not going to work.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Once you believe, you believe. And so the thief was affected greatly that day by the crucifixion. Let me give you another one. Verse 47. "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man." I've often wondered who the centurion is as far as his name. I wonder if it was the centurion that his servant was healed. And now it's crucifixion day, and he had to be there, of course. It was his job to oversee all the soldiers that were doing the damage to Jesus Christ. But when he heard the words, when he heard those sermons coming off that cross, when he even maybe heard the thief that was preaching there, he realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In Matthew 27 and verse 54, it says this, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God." Truly this was the Son of God. The centurion was acknowledging who Jesus was and receiving Christ right there next to the cross. He was believing and he realized who Jesus was. He's a righteous man. He'd done nothing wrong. The centurion knew exactly who Jesus was. He had heard him. He had seen his actions with all of the other soldiers when they were beating him. And it had to affect the way that he believed now. He saw when he was nailed to the cross. He was there. The centurion had to be there watching to make sure it was done according to Roman law. And he saw the way Jesus put out his hands voluntarily and put his feet together so they could nail them on the cross. He could see and he could hear everything that he said on the cross. Those 53 words that Jesus spoke from the cross, the centurion heard them all. And I'm telling you what, he's a believer now. If he wasn't before this day, he's a believer now.
Amen.
When we get to heaven someday, where I think we might see Barabbas, we might see, I think we're going to see, the thief. I do believe we're going to see the centurion. There's going to be so many people that were there that day beholding what Jesus went through on that cross. The centurion was affected by the cross. The thief was affected by the cross. Simon of Cyrene was affected by the cross.
Amen.
And Barabbas was affected by the cross.
Amen.
Question is, are you affected by the cross?
Amen.
Has the cross affected you at all? Has the crucifixion affected you at all? When you see Jesus hanging there for you, taking our place, taking your place, my place, does it affect you at all? Does it do anything for you? You don't deserve it. You might sit there thinking, well, I deserve this salvation. I deserve this forgiveness. I deserve this. Jesus had to go to the cross for me. Yes, he did. But he went there because he loves you so much.
Amen.
I don't understand that love that he would go and die for the people that beat him and treated him horribly and said horrible things about him. And even today, in this day and age, people are saying horrible things about Jesus Christ. There's nobody in the world that their names are dragged through the gutter more than the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You hear it, I hear it. People take the name of God in vain all the time.
Amen.
And yet that name can save their souls.
Amen.
That name has saved my soul. That name has saved your soul if you're saved. People were affected that day by the cross. And people are still being affected by the cross.
Amen.
2,000 years later, people are still getting saved.
Amen.
You're only saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what that tells you? People are still being affected by the cross.
Amen.
People are still being affected by the crucifixion. I would encourage you when you read through the New Testament again, and hopefully you're going through it now in our Bible reading, that you would take a close note of what Jesus did for you on that cross, leading up to the crucifixion, during the crucifixion, and after the crucifixion. How has the crucifixion affected so many people down through the centuries?
Yeah, that's good.
Murderers being saved in prisons all over the world.
Yep.
Amen.
People that never knew anything about Jesus Christ are being saved because of the crucifixion.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Our missionaries are out every time they get a chance. They're preaching the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection.
Yeah.
They don't end with just the crucifixion. They preach the resurrection.
Amen.
But people are being affected by that crucifixion every day. You pass out a gospel tract and give it to somebody, they're being affected by the crucifixion. You invite somebody to church, a Bible-believing church like this or another Bible-believing church, they're going to be affected by the crucifixion. They're either going to accept what Jesus Christ did for them or reject Jesus Christ. People are being affected all the time. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You either believe in Jesus Christ or you don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It comes down to a decision that every single human being has to make. You're either for Him or against Him. You either believe or you don't. You're either going to heaven or hell.
That's right.
When you die. Those of us that are going to heaven, we're affected by the cross.
Amen.
We're affected by the crucifixion. But those that go to hell also were affected by the crucifixion. They chose not to believe.
Amen.
I hope and pray. Oh, I hope and pray that you have believed upon Jesus Christ and what He has done for you on that cross.
Amen.
I hope you've been affected in a positive way. I hope the crucifixion has affected you positively, not negatively.
Amen.
I hope and pray I'll see every one of you in heaven someday.
Amen.
You know what I really want? I want this whole church to gather in heaven someday. Wouldn't that be good? We'll have a little corner over here in heaven somewhere. Hey, Pastor, good to see you. Yeah. Didn't think I was going to make it or what? It's good to see you too. I wondered about you also. And we'll have just a grand old time in heaven. The only way we're going to get there is through the cross.
Amen.
You have to be affected by the crucifixion to go to heaven. But let's not leave it there. You have to be affected by the crucifixion to live a Christ-like life.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul said we have to crucify this flesh daily.
Yeah.
That's a whole different sermon. Don't have time to preach that one, buddy. We have to crucify this flesh on a daily basis. Because our flesh is out to get us.
Amen.
Oh, boy.
Our worldly mind is out to get us. We constantly have to be on guard.
Amen.
All the time. I think the best thing to think about is when you're being attacked by the devil, the world, the flesh, just think about the crucifixion.
Amen.
Jesus hanging there, dying for you.
That's good, preacher. That's good.
Your sins being nailed to that cross. Because when Jesus was hanging there, nailed to the cross, your sins were on Him. Every one of your sins was nailed with Christ on the cross. Has the crucifixion affected you in any way at all? Only two ways it can be affected. You either believe or you don't. Question today is, are you saved? I hope and pray you are. You can be if you're not. The crucifixion can affect you in a positive way. Or it'll affect you in a negative way. I encourage you to come back tonight. We've got a few more to look at. I don't have time to give them to you today. I have a few more to look at tonight that was affected by the cross. I'm not done yet.
Amen.
But to be nice with you, I'll let you go now. But I expect you to come back tonight if you want. Because I got a couple more to look at. Three more, to be exact. Father, thank you again for this message. Thank you, Father, for those that were affected by the cross. Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing to know for sure that when we die someday, we can know that we're going to be remembered in paradise as that thief. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, Jesus said to that man. And I'm sure that that thief hanging there was so joyful and to realize that he was going to see Jesus and be with Jesus that day. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And if there's somebody here or somebody listening online or somebody even in the future that brings up this recording and listens or sees it, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. As only you can, only the Holy Spirit can draw people to you. And Lord, we know that. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Because that tomb could not keep you there except for 3 days. And you came up. And you're alive and well today. What a blessing to serve a living Savior. What a blessing, Lord, to know that we can talk to you anytime, day or night, that you're going to listen. Lord, just speak to our hearts right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.